If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
Paul says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. It's interesting when he says this, because when he gives you the noun for new, he uses a word, kainos, which means a species that has never existed. The you that you are is not old renovated. It's not old rehabilitated. God didn't reach in and slap some paint on you. He ripped out that old heart and put in a new one. When you walk away from that altar, you have all the tools for newness. The problem resurfaces when you go right back to the same people. Oh, sookie, sookie now. Listen to this. You have the potential, the enormity, the credibility to stop committing the sins of your past. But you go right back to the same people who remind you of what you used to do. Watch this now. You have a new heart with God potential, but it can't be released because you keep hanging around old people. So here's what Paul does. Watch the migration. If any's in Christ, he's a new creature. All things become new. And all things are of God. That's what you come to the realization of after you become a Christian. You start seeing things from God's perspective. Remember, everybody in the Bible, every character in the Bible gives us a component of our spiritual life. From Joseph, we learn not why, but what. From Joseph, we learn not why am I suffering, but what are you trying to get out of me, God? From Job, we learn, okay, God, things aren't going to go the way I want them to go, but I'm going to trust you anyway. What is that? A new attitude. Whew. Many of us that are Christians have the same sinful attitude that once you hit an insurmountable object, you quit. Then you blame the devil. Whoa. God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. How are you, my brother? How are you, my sister? I'm still here. Oh, I hate that when people tell me that. How you doing, brother? I'm still here. I just want to hang up the phone and tell Denise, don't give them an appointment. I can't sit here for 45 minutes and listen to this anxiety. Even though you have an IQ of 137 or above, you ought to have an attitude. I want an IQ higher than Forrest Gump's. But I don't want to lose, I don't want that IQ to cause me to lose the attitude of Forrest Gump. Forrest was dynamic. Forrest would take you so far, tell you what I have to tell you, and before you could interject the poison of doubt, he said, and that's all I got to say about that. In other words, we ain't talking about it no more. That guy said, Forrest, you stupid. He said, stupid is and stupid does. This is what Paul teaches. Paul says, when you're a new creature, you start seeing things through the eyes of God. Ooh. The eyes of God are extremely reflective. It tells you before you pass final judgment on me, look at where you were when God didn't pass final judgment on you. And even now, we still bring him fruit that is not pleasing. But he doesn't kill us. And you mean you can't cut me some slack when God is cutting you slack every day? Watch this. He goes on now. And he says, God doesn't want you going backwards into that lifestyle. But he doesn't teach, as we move into the sixth chapter, he doesn't teach that we should alienate ourselves. He teaches that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. But he realizes that if you keep associating with certain people, because we are extremely chameleon-like, and why is that? God made us that way so that we could adapt and adopt to the positive attitudes around us. See, everything that God gives us has a positive and a negative. God gave us the freedom of choice. You can make a bad choice just as much as you can make a good choice. God makes us chameleon-like so that we can adopt the positive attitudes of decent people who are going somewhere. But the caveat is that we can also adopt the negative behavior of jerks that aren't going anywhere. Your attitude is not only combined of genetics, it's also combined with your culture, your socialization. Socks. They pulled me right in. They didn't do that intentionally. I just start saying, you know what? It looked pretty good. Why not try it? I mean, nobody's saying nothing bad about them. I didn't get an email from the TV audience. Why don't you tell them to wear black socks? But had they never done it, I would have probably not thought it was worth trying. Good influence. Do something new. Paul says, but understand this, Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 14. He gives an appeal for separation. Be not unequally yoked. Again, Paul reveals here his Old Testament mastery. For in the Old Testament, God said, you don't yoke an oxen with a sheep. You don't yoke an oxen with a horse. You want to pull that cart, you hook up two horses. And so Paul reflects back on that teaching and says, be not unequally yoked. I love this. Again, the limitation of modern theology says Paul is saying you shouldn't marry sinners. That's a possibility. I think it's applicable here. Yes, but the analogy speaks to going the same way with the same purpose. Let me give you an illustration. You're a born-again believer and you want to make money. The Bible didn't say making money was a sin. It said loving it is a sin. You can like it a lot, just don't love it. He says, okay, so you decide you want to make money. That's not a problem, okay? God even says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That means a woman should not take care of a man. If he's sitting up in your house not working, don't feed him. It's not me, it's the socks talking. Don't feed him. All right, so the Christian wants to make money. Nothing wrong with that. But then I have this drug dealer who wants to make money. So the drug dealer says, well, how about I join with you? And you bring your marketing skills to my product line. No, that's unequally yoked. Same purpose, but you're unequally yoked. Christians cannot take their music to secular venues. A Christian cannot sing the music of Christ in a club. They tried to get Mahalia Jackson to sing in clubs. She said, my music does not belong here because the very nature of the club is contrary to Christianity. So don't go around, well, you know, we got to reach them where they are. Oh, really? So why not reach the witches by going to a witchcraft conference? Don't be unequally yoked, he says. You can't do that. I'll marry two sinners and two Christians, but I will not marry a Christian to a sinner. If you say God gave them to you, fine. Go to the justice of the peace and get married. I will not do it here. Because when I ask that person biblical things, they cannot answer in the affirmative because their hearts have not been changed. Well, how is she going to get them changed? You shouldn't marry them till they get changed. Well, if I marry him, then I can get him changed later. Oh, no, it don't work like that. They'll marry you, and the next thing you know, you're not in church. Where you been? Oh, we go to brunch in the morning. See, my baby takes me to brunch. You weren't going to brunch when you were living for the Lord. You don't even recognize you haven't been to church or prayer. Well, why don't you come to prayer anymore? Well, see, because that's our time together. Why couldn't he pick Thursday? Why'd he pick Wednesday? Oh, we in love. No, you're unequally yoked. Watch how Paul moves on. He said, you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. He says this. He asks questions. He said, what fellowship, what intimacy does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what communion, what can the two of you possibly have in common? That person's life is run by the devil, and they're bringing demons into your existence. And every time you share spiritual intimacy, unrighteous seed is going into you. Because when you come together, sexual intimacy is the only thing that you do physically that affects you spiritually. It draws the two of you together. So you're being drawn to someone who doesn't love your Jesus. And it won't be much longer till they tell you to choose. Well, I want to go to prayer. All right, look, I'm sick of this. Now you make up your mind. It's prayer or me. Oh, baby, I don't want to lose you. God understands. And he's sitting in heaven saying, what?
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1317A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.